Our first reading is from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 to 6. The book of Revelation in the Bible is one of the more difficult books to understand. Not that I'm a biblical scholar, but it's a little strange. It was written by John and presents the testimony of Jesus Christ of revelations of things to come as given by God. Contrary to popular apocalyptic thinking, there's no rapture of future Christians up to heaven, but rather God is raptured to earth to take up residence with all of us. In today's reading, we are told that God will create a new heaven and a new earth where God will join his people. In doing so, God will make all things new. Revelation is often considered to be profoundly ecological in this sense, as God is declaring his commitment to earth as the location for our salvation. Listen for the word of God. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is from Acts, chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. The context of this story has its roots in the covenant that God made with Abraham when in Genesis, chapter 12, verse 3, God said, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. All of the families of the earth will be blessed in you." In this reading, Peter is reporting to the church at Jerusalem on his visit to the church at Joppa. His message is that God is accepting Gentiles without the requirement that they participate in Judaism. The process of telling of God's acceptance of the Gentiles has several aspects and is presented in the Bible in stages. Each time the acceptance of Gentiles is relayed, a different aspect of Judaism is noted, depending on the audience and the particular situation. However, in each of these tellings, the focus is always on God's initiative through the Spirit. In this passage, Peter first experiences the vision from God that overturns the concept of clean and unclean that up to that time had shaped his existence as an observant Jew. Listen for the word of God. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them? Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, Get up, Peter, kill and eat. But I replied, By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth. But a second time the voice answered from heaven, What God has made clean, you must not call profane. This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved. As I began to speak to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, Then God has given even the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. It reads this way. When he had gone out, referring to Judas, when he had gone out, Jesus said, Now the Son of Man must be glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Title of the message is, the surprising work of the Spirit. Given that Presbyterians were clapping during the anthem, is the mysterious and surprising work of the Holy Spirit. In our Acts reading, that's what I'm going to concentrate on today, we see a major change happening to the church. Up until this time, the believers, the followers of Jesus, were Jewish Christians, with the exception that there were now some in Samaria. And my guess is the Jewish Christians were kind of tolerating the Samaritans, hoping that they would stay in Samaria and that the Jewish Christians would stay in Jerusalem and Judea and Galilee. But now, Peter has taken the gospel to the Gentiles and they've responded. And I know the reaction is, what? What's going on, Peter? They aren't like us. Don't you know? They don't have our values. They don't follow our traditions. And here you are inviting them to become like us. What in the world were you thinking? And Peter responds by retelling the story of what happened. I had this vision, and the Spirit was telling me to eat this non-kosher food. And I'm like, God, I've never eaten non-kosher food. Well, I'm not. I don't want to begin now. And three times he has this vision, and he's like, what's going on? And he's confused, and he doesn't understand. And then these people come knocking at the door, saying that the Spirit has sent them. And the Spirit tells Peter to follow them and go with them to Caesarea and to share the message of Jesus with these Gentiles. And when Peter shares the message, the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they begin to speak in other languages, just like what had happened at Pentecost. And Peter's finally starting to make the connection. Jews, we considered non-kosher food unclean. And God's saying, take and eat. We consider Gentiles unclean. But the Holy Spirit's come upon them. Maybe these two are connected in some way. And Peter says, who am I to hinder the work that the Holy Spirit is doing? And it shut everybody up. The critics, what could they say? And we're told that they began to praise and worship God for what God was doing. I suspect Peter was the only one that God could have used to have brought the Jews or the Christian message to the Gentiles. It had to be someone high up in the church structure that would make that initial contact. Otherwise, nobody would have believed it, and nobody would have accepted it. But Peter was able to see the work of the Spirit working in mysterious and unexpected and surprising ways. I like to ask the question sometimes, if the Holy Spirit was to leave our church, what would change? And too often I've found the answer to that to be, well, not much. We go on worshiping as we do, doing the things that we do. But if I ask that question, I would say, God's doing some great things. The Holy Spirit's doing some wonderful things in our church. Since I've been back from sabbatical last fall, we've done 40 days of prayer leading up to Advent, 40 days of prayer during Lent, and we did that with St. Paul's Lutheran Church and Grace Lutheran Church. We've done Taizé services during Advent and during Lent. We've been doing Christian education throughout this time, and the attendance has just been wonderful for the book studies and the Bible studies that we've done. And we've had new people that have never really participated in these studies before coming and participating. We have this deacon seminar, Life Plans, my next chapter. All of these things are coming into place, I believe. The Holy Spirit moving and working, and Holy Spirit working in mysterious and surprising ways. And we're Presbyterian. We like everything to be decent and in order. We don't like surprises. Why can't the Holy Spirit be more Presbyterian? We try to figure out, we try to do planning, figure out what God is doing, where God's leading us. And I believe we're doing that to some degree. The session's been working for a couple of years now and trying to figure out, who are we? What are our values, our core values? What's important to us? And who should be our target audience? Who should we be trying to reach? And we determined, looking at ourselves, there's a lot of gray hair out there. There's a lot of gray hair here. We thought, our best audience that we're best equipped to reach are the recently retirees and the empty nesters. Because that's who we are, or who we were when we came, for many of us, who we were when we came to this church. But then I look and see what the Holy Spirit's doing right now. We have some new people that are going to be joining our church next month. And let me just mention who they are. We have Leslie Baker right here, who is the one that comes the closest to meeting our target audience. We have the Pananzu's family right here with two teenage children. That's not our target audience. We have Tyler Spurry there in the back, who's in his mid-20s. Not our target audience. What are we to say? Sorry, you don't fit our profile. You're not welcome. And I got to tell you, as I talked to Elson about his thoughts about the church, he's got grand ideas of how we can be reaching out into our community and bringing people in. And I got to tell you, the ones he's talking about bringing in aren't our target audience. So what do we say to him? Never mind. Or do we say, is this the surprising work of the Holy Spirit? And maybe we ought to see where it leads. I'm kind of there. Let's see what God's doing. Let's not hinder the work that God wants to do in our midst. Let me give you another example of how I see the Holy Spirit working. I forget how long it's been now, 3 or 4 years. Session had a retreat. And we asked the question, where will our church be in 20 years? And what will it look like? Because no one on session was going to figure they'd be around 20 years from now, at least not on session. And we started talking about technology. And out of that retreat came our screens. And I think, you know, there was some resistance at the time, but I think most people have come to accept and even like how we do our screens now. Part of that discussion, though, was also having cameras so that we could record our worship services. At the time, we said, we really can't do that. We don't have the money, and we don't have the manpower, the people, to do it. So that was put on hold. And it's been on hold for those 3 or 4 years. But now it's starting to resurface again. And the idea is, maybe the timing's right. And so our AV team started to look into this. They started talking to other churches that are doing it, seeing how it worked, seeing what the costs were, what all is involved in doing it, like with licensing and all this stuff. And they came last month to session. And they said, we want to raise this issue and see what you think. And session began to talk about it. And I have to tell you, I think session was pretty divided at that point, whether we wanted to pursue this or not. The two big concerns were money and people. And so the session said to the AV team, go and let's explore some things, gave us some questions that we needed to answer. Oh, and I forgot to mention, some of us went to a seminar or workshop, or I'm not even sure what they called it, of technology. And we saw different systems in place. We saw what live streaming was. Originally, when we talked about cameras, it was to record and be able to see later. But now we're starting to talk about how can we live stream this so that our shut-ins who have access to internet could watch it at home, worship with us while we're doing this. What about people that are on vacation? They could tune in and be with us. Here's one. Snow days, when it snows and we've had to cancel church, I can make that treacherous walk across the parking lot, set up the camera, walk up front, give the sermon. I won't do the music. Nobody would want that. But we can have the worship service, even on snow days. And then it's also a means to reach out to others. And not just locally, worldwide. Once you're on the internet, anybody can see it. So we brought all this to session, and they encouraged us to look into it further. So we came back this past week, and I forgot something. I gotta get my story straight. Last month when we talked about it, the money was the big issue. How can we pay for it? Now, we have money in reserve accounts that we could use. It's there. But do we want to take money from the reserve accounts? And a lot of folks on session said, no, we really don't want to do that. So somebody asked about the Ignite grant that we got a year ago, $5,000. The stipulation or the criteria for the grant would be that it'd be bold, contextual, and collaborative. And so Session was asking, does using this money for live streaming, video equipment, or camera equipment, does that fit into the criteria? Now, I'm on the Ignite team that gave out those grants, and I'm thinking, no, not really. And somebody suggested, well, why don't you poll the other Ignite team members? I kind of rolled my eyes up and said, okay. So I polled them. Everyone that responded in a very positive, yes, this fits the criteria. This works. In fact, our new missional presbyter wrote and said, at my previous church, we decided to do this, and I was reluctant, had reservations, but it's turned out to really work well for that church. Go for it. So, I'm kind of surprised. But now we got half the money we need to do this. So maybe Session might say, well, we can pull out the other half from reserve fund. But then the Sunday after Easter, one of our church members handed me an envelope. And it said, this is to be used by Duke and the church for the glory of God. And I opened it up, and it's a check for $5,000. There's our $10,000. And this person had no idea that we were talking about live streaming. So now I'm thinking, we've got the money. Is this the work of the Holy Spirit? The other question was, people. Do we have the people? We didn't have it when we brought in the screens. Do we have the people now? Well, we have like 3 or 4 people that are interested in doing this. None of them were members of the church when we decided to do screens. Only one of them is even now a member of the AV team. We have new people excited and wanting to be a part of this. Is that the Holy Spirit working? Well, the session has done a lot of work on mission and vision and such. Maybe we ought to look and see how this fits in with the work that we've been doing. Let me read from our mission statement, one sentence from out of our mission statement. Drawing strength and inspiration through sharing our faith with one another, we reach outside our walls to openly share the love of Christ with the surrounding community and to help those in need, both locally and worldwide. Does streaming our worship services fit into that? I think so. We're openly sharing the love of Christ with our surrounding community. So, check mark on mission. What about vision? Here's a statement from that. Striving to be a significant and well-known presence in our community, we share the love of the Lord through an array of activities to meet the educational, social, and spiritual needs of individuals and families. Does this meet that criteria? I would say yes. We want to be a well-known presence in our community. And we can live stream or record more than just our worship services. We can be doing Bible studies and other happenings that are going on in our church. So anyway, session met this past week. My hope was that they would say, let's continue to think about this. But as we talked about all these different parts of where we saw the Holy Spirit working, we said, who are we to hinder the work of the Holy Spirit? So session voted that day to go ahead and move forward with this. Now, as we look to the future, our church does need to be involved in creating a strategic plan. What are we going to do? And how do we plan for it? And that's important. And God and the Holy Spirit work through those type of plans. But then there are also those surprising, unexpected things that the Holy Spirit is leading us to do. And the question then becomes, who are we to hinder the work of the Holy Spirit? And I think that's where we are now. What is God doing now? And how is God leading us toward the future? So I hope you'll join us in praying for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us and to do the surprising and the mysterious, but also the planned out and the thought out ways that Presbyterians tend to work. So God be praised. Amen.